Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. So, anyway, yes, it's me. A really bad day. One of those days when some disaster happens, like, okay, the house didn't burn down, but, you know, just nasty stuff to clean up, mess made everywhere, blah, 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 blah. So, very distracting day. And tired and fatigued and all that kind of crap. But, you know, sort of relates to the subject because at those moments, you know, when you've got your finger in a dike and you know, there's just, you know, nobody's got any duct tape. You're just saying, yeah, why am I here? You know, this is, I got better things to do than be subjected to, you know, this every now and then disaster thing showing up. You know, and it's all, part of it's being, you could argue, poverty comes with some of this stuff just because, yeah, you can't necessarily afford to replace all this and do all that and fix everything perfect. And so you end up with some stuff that's marginal and you have to live with that. And it just sucks. You know, you have to get more miles out of your tires and all that kind of crap. And it's not a preferable way to live. But anyway, there's so many people got it so worse that I shouldn't complain. But I'm complaining because I don't, you know. So anyway, so it just does sort of relate just in the sense that it just reminds you of the frailty of your existence and just how any day something inside could blow up and you're fucked. And who wants to live like that? And as I've stated, I mean, I am in this condition of being older, and while I was always aware of it, a little bit spooked by the fact that you could see somebody your age who gets the bad news, and it would give you, you know, a little pause and a little, it was never, you know, it was so much further away as a risk, in a sense, I guess, that you could just negate it and pretend and just go about your business. I find, you know, that it bugs me to be at risk, and I don't like it. You know, it's really irritating to be just wondering, you know, how the Grim Reaper is going to come get me. It really sucks. So I guess there's lots of people that go through the process of getting old, and they just pretend their way through and just don't, you know, their brain is able to just find some distraction and not let those kind of thoughts creep into their awareness. And I'm just not conducive to that because it's, you know, I've always lived defensively. So I'm going to take the threat seriously because it's a serious threat. I mean, and it's so random in so many ways, it doesn't really, you know, there's nothing you can do about it kind of thing. And it's just in your genetic cards, or it's in something you did when you were 20 years old. You breathed in the wrong chemical and now you're fucked. You know, that kind of stuff. Just nasty. And so, you know, you can't do much about it. It just makes life a little bit more terrifying, I guess, or something. And scaredy cats like myself, you know, just don't enjoy that. The bully of the Grim Reaper. I want to run away. I just don't want to deal with it. Just like things happened today, and I didn't, who the fuck wants to deal with this shit? So, I got a stiff neck for my trouble, on top of all the other grief. Part of what I was thinking this week, and it wasn't necessarily going to be the subject, but it's, I guess it's going to be the subject now, is, again, this problem of talking to people, and people have become really unreasonable. I mean, there's just so much, people are just so irrational and delusional, and you know, they're really dumb. just a fact. Really ill-informed, stupid, ignorant. And you see it sometimes, you know, they make fun of people doing these on-the-street interview things and ask people simple questions, you know, which way is up? You know, and they're confused, you know. And you're, oh, shit, you know. It's really bad. And so, yeah, any kind of complicated conversation about anything that's a little bit nuanced in terms of understanding, you have a psychology, and you know, you're motivated by a bunch of stimulus from your your crude sensing reflexes of hormones and whatnot that put you in the mood, and you know, and so you you know, you're driven in a sense to accomplish kind of meaningless stuff, like, you know, completing a puzzle or something or some other little bullshit, and this is your task, and you get caught up in living this life stuff, and you think you're accomplishing something, and it's, you know, when it's going to be all said and done, nobody's going to want what you made. You know, whatever you built is just going to be refuse somewhere. It's going to be on the street, picked up by the, you know, the disposers, and you know, it all don't mean much. So there's lots of ways you can think about that, you know, just in the sense of, you know, the stuff you have collected in your life and just how valueless most of it actually is to other people, and you know, and how little of it would be appreciated as you appreciated it. And yeah, it's all kind of the nasty part of life, is that it all just ends up, you know, in the landfill. You know, just a lot of pretty, you know, stuff that would be important if you understood what it meant to somebody else, and all of that just gets turned into nothing. So it's more part of the charm of this existence thing. So anyway, so yeah, so the challenge is that, you know, there's, well, as stated, the challenge is that, you know, the people that have some capacity to reason, some capacity to recognize that, yeah, life isn't some guaranteed fun thing, that it is much more complicated than some kind of gift, you know, that it's got all kinds of catches to it, and that it's not a gift in a lot of circumstances. But they don't think they have any responsibility to prevent, okay, what other people would cause to happen. And they don't really take any accountability, say, for all of the sentient other animals that provide the environment for us to live in. I mean, their circle of death is, you know, essentially essential to this rebirth nonsense. And, you know, that the only way the cycle can end is if we end it on purpose. It's, you know, there's thin odds that the asteroid's going to come to the rescue and put it all to sleep. And so, you know, but just to not appreciate that it's, you know, this isn't something you impose because of the fact that it isn't in any way a guaranteed profitable experience for any given participant. And there can't be much worse than obliging somebody to spend 20 years in a mental institution or, you know, fighting some sort of disease that they were born with, or, you know, some other blight and just the existence part, right? I mean, just trying to eke out a living is kind of complicated because there's so much of it that's crass and cheaty. You know, you have to be a conniver and a schemer. You have to, you know, resell a product or do something else kind of unnice to your fellow man to make your living, often. You have to be a liar, shy, or crook. It's part of the bargain, is, you know, the fraud of it all, the selling of the crap. Yeah, there's just so little honest work to be had. You know, there's only so many honest jobs, and, you know, the rest of them are all the ones that are, that profit on exploitation of people's ignorance, and, there's big money to be made doing that. So there's not even a civilization that really provides a safe path, a good, you know, good human being path to take. You know, you can't even be a soldier and be, you know, and have some sort of notion that you're only going to be obligated to fight in honorable wars. You know, there's just, you know, so little that's guaranteed or that is controllable. And so you're really just putting, you know, it's like you're just throwing poison in random glasses and obliging people to drink. And that's insidious. You know, good people don't do that. So it's getting intelligent people to recognize their obligation to the future humans and the future sentient animals that will be tormented in that future if you do nothing. You know, if you just say it's none of my business, or, well, the poor will be the poor, they'll do whatever they do, blah, 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 the ignorant and stupid. And you really just can't have that attitude. And, you know, they make so much out of this idea that, you know, somehow you're supposed to have, you know, somehow it's more honorable to have some sort of respect for the breeding poor, you know, and that's the key word, the breeding poor, right? I mean, it's one thing to be poor, and I can have empathy for your poverty, for the circumstance that you haven't found your way in life, but to have kids when you haven't done that, you know, when you're a failure, that's really disgusting. I mean, that's unethical, and the more intelligent people should be able to honestly say that without worrying about being called a racist or some kind of inhuman monster, because they don't think people who have absolutely little prospect of being able to take care of any kind of disaster or any kind of extra burden placed, you know, to ensure the safety of their children in any way, should really not be making children. I mean, that shouldn't be a hard thing to argue and to state without being called some sort of insensitive person, because it's exactly being sensitive, feeling an obligation to protect children from being raised in poverty, because it's not going to do them any good, frankly. The vast majority of them don't escape the lifestyle of the poor. Okay, that's all that. That's where they're going to be stuck. That's the law of averages, and until you make that a minority of the outcome, you got no business defending the breeding poor. And they're the whole problem. Like I said, this argument's really over as soon as you stop the crazy loony breeders, because the rest of the people who are a little bit humbled by life's uncertainties aren't going to plow into having three kids. You know, they're not going to be causing an overpopulation problem, a sustainable population problem. And that's seen all over the world, where all these countries that have acquired a little bit of sophistication and culture are not creating, they're not breeding sufficient to replace the population. They're going extinct, you know, and for a good reason, because, yeah, it's just not obviously worth, you know, keep manufacturing this mediocrity. And certainly it's not worth it if you count the excessive price paid by the few who pay the worst price, who get the shortest straws. The people getting the shortest straws and the animals getting the shortest straws, the harshness of their fate should be enough. You know, getting eaten alive by a crocodile, that kind of stuff, that should be enough to tell you, okay, I'm not going to force something to get eaten by a crocodile so I can sing and dance. I mean, I've said this so many times, I mean, you're really not worth it. Whatever we're doing ain't worth it. It just isn't. It isn't worth giving kids cancer for. It isn't worth bunny rabbits getting a mite that eats their fur off or something. It isn't worth it. It isn't. None of what we're doing is worth torturing stuff for. Torture isn't an acceptable price to be paid. That's not a complicated idea, is it? I mean, really, is that a complicated idea? What's the counter argument? Yes, torture is worth it. You know, yes, I think I'm worth torturing stuff. You would actually do it. You'd actually inject a kid with cancer to save your life. Or to, not even save your life, to reproduce, to have a child. If the obligation was you had to give some kid cancer to have a baby, you would do it. Oh, ew. That's disgusting, frankly. And so you should out yourself. If that's really how you think, that's what you should say. And make it clear that you're sadistic and evil and unreasonable. Because, again, I can go through all these biology reasons, you know, the little insect monsters. You know, we're not very far from there, you know, because we are still clumsily trying to figure out how to use this brain capacity in some better way than just smelling what smells good and chasing it. You know, doing something a little more sophisticated than that with our existence, a little bit more than just scheming like bugs, you know, to get advantage. And the advantage is, you know, you get to eat more, you know, you get to consume more of some other creature's welfare, you know, to preserve your own. It's just vampire ethics. And who wants to be a vampire? I mean, why would you, you know, why would you think you'd have the ambition to be a good vampire? Fuck that. I don't, you know, I'm not interested in playing vampire. It's not a credible use of a consciousness. It's a waste of the capacity to think and feel. If all you're going to do is scheme to suck something else's blood. Yuck. Alright, anyway. Okay, so that's part of the video. It's alright. Just one of those days. Yeah, it's like I got not. Just. Yeah. Life. Sucks. Anyway, I'll be back. All right, back. Thinking. Yeah, and so, but nothing constructive. Just still stuck on this, you know, people are just so impossible to reason with. And so I found this in the physics arguments especially. You know, stuff that's, you know, to me, you know, it's just obvious that they don't have evidence for what they're claiming. The stories are insanely elaborate and silly. It's like somebody telling you, you know, they were abducted by aliens and something, and you know, but their cell phone wasn't working, and, you know, this alien technology blocked it, and, you know, all these, you know, some kind of, you know, story that you know is just bullshit. And, you know, people fall for this crap that these scientists make up. And I hate to say scientists, because, you know, I have a great deal of respect for the idea of most of what scientists have done in terms of discovery, but it's all tainted now, because it is all, you know, in the last couple hundred years, especially in the last 100 years, I mean, it got all driven by this quantum crap and all kinds of this, these wooey features that, you know, all these little magical functions that the smallest things in the universe have. And, you know, it's just crazy. And, it, you know, from my perspective, it's like, well, that's like, you need extraordinary evidence for extraordinary claims. You're going to make an extraordinary claim that, you know, I don't know, a dog runs through both slits at the same time or something. That's an extraordinary claim. You know, and you really should have really good evidence if you're going to say something that silly, frankly, or that incredible on its face. And people don't require any evidence. So, I mean, there's this idea, you know, I'll just do a little tiny bit of it. You know, for the last 2 years I've been arguing this kinetic energy theorem. And basically it says, overtly, that, you know, it takes 25 times the gasoline to move your car 5 times as fast. So the difference between going 10 miles an hour and 50 miles an hour, you're going to use 25 times more fuel. Now, this doesn't happen on this planet. It doesn't happen. And yes, when you crash a car at 50 miles an hour, it's, you know, it's kind of spectacularly more crashed than at 10 miles an hour. But that's because it's 5 times the energy. It's not because it's 25 times the energy. You didn't have 20, you weren't going 25 times as fast. And, you know, that's what their theory says. It says something that's just plainly not true. It doesn't happen. You know, you can't spin a water wheel twice as fast and create 4 times the energy. You can't do it. Nothing works this way. 3 times as fast, 9 times the energy. You know, nothing works that way. It doesn't happen. Yet they believe. And you say, why do you believe? Because they say so. There's no logic to it. And they just recite, you know, silly mantras about, well, it's the distance over the something or other. And you're just some bullshit. And you're like, well, what does that have to do with the fact that it's only, you know, say it's a half mass going twice the velocity. Well, something half the size going twice as fast will hit something as hard as, you know, the full mass going one velocity. It makes perfectly good sense. Like, this idea of momentum works perfectly. So you can explain that momentum works with levers, it works with all these things, and they'll deny it, you know, and defend nonsense. And you're just saying, these are people that aren't stupid. So that's my dilemma. Is I'm, you know, I'm coming face to face with the idea that smart people aren't very smart. And, you know, that's a contradiction. So they're obviously educated. They have some knowledge, but they're unreasonable. You know, yeah, you could say they're insane, but, you know, they're just unreasonable. They're not bound by logic. And they're just hypocritical and duplicitous and defending something because it's their thing to defend. So it's just like the politics, where Trump has gotten away with things that nobody in the history of American politics could ever have gotten away with. I mean, you know, the philandering, the nonsensical statements, the insane, I mean, you know, the anti-Semitic stuff. I mean, the stuff that nobody could get away with. Because he's their guy, you know, and there's no, you know, he's representing their ideal of this, whatever it is, capitalist flag wavy white moron, you know, and so they'll defend anything. It doesn't matter. You can commit any crime and they're still going to defend him because he's carrying this banner of, I don't even, you know, it's hard to even say what it is, this pro-American male thing, you know, because it's, that's all wrapped up in it somehow, is some sort of Rockwellian horse shit about living some typical American life, and if you dare to do something different with your sexuality or something, that somehow, well, we have to spit on that or say that's poopy. Now, I would agree that, you know, a lot of the liberal agenda is sort of turned, you know, things that aren't civil rights movements into civil rights movements. I mean, you don't have a right to tell people they have to applaud you in a parade. They don't have to do that. So, you know, all they have to do is not tie you to a barbed wire fence and shoot you with arrows or something. You know, people don't have to like each other. They don't even have to respect each other. They have to just respect the other person's right to live their definition of a satisfying life, as long as they're not stepping on your toes in any real way. Yeah. And that's the part that's just gotten so fucked up. You know, is, so it's sort of like what happened with unions. You know, unions used to be defending fairness, and then the only unions that survived are ones that can use extortion, you know, like, you know, I'll kill your kids if you don't pay us kind of thing, like the cops walking off the job or some other kind of thing. And so it's just the extortion unions that have any power, and then they start asking for things that are ridiculous. So the government employees have become that, you know, they're obviously, you know, hugely entitled, and they get huge salaries and rewards and benefits and all kinds of shit, and then they want no accountability, and they get this written into contracts that somehow they get free lawyers for, you know, a lawsuit about them, you know, having sex with some underage girl or something. Like, somehow that's part of their job, is to be you know, represented as a, you know, to get fairly represented as a criminal. I mean, it's just so silly. And so, yeah, that makes the politics really ugly. And it creates this, I'm definitely not one of those people. And so, you know, that's where I'm stuck with, you know, there's not a sensible choice here. You know, the liberals have lost all sense of a legitimate cause. They think it's all for free, and they don't even think to build a civilization you have to have some incentive for people to, work hard, do hard work, kind of be, you know, sacrificed for the better world that's going to be made out of that. And you're not going to get anywhere in this stupid commune perspective that, oh yeah, we'll all just, you know, buy a house and nobody has to do the housework and nobody has to, you know, plant the garden and nobody has to do any work. And it doesn't work that way. So that's always been a failure. The, you know, whatever that is, that hippie kind of bullshit ideology that life is real easy and it doesn't take any sacrifice or hard work to make a fair and livable civilization. When, no, it does take a lot of work. And then the other side are these greedy fucks who only see their own, you know, genetics as the only thing, you know, they're all trying to create some master race or something. They all think they're superior people. And most of them, literally most of the people who have wealth above $1 million didn't earn it. You know, it's part of what they've inherited from somebody else who gave them this advantage. And all they did was not lose it. You know, they didn't. You know, Trump actually lost more money than he had. You know, that's how much money his father had. It was an obscene fortune. And he lost a big, huge, giant pile of it. So he's, yeah, you know, he's not self-made in any way. And it's ridiculous to, you know, profile him as some, example of playing by the rules and winning when he didn't play by any rules and he didn't win anything. It's disgusting. It really is. So clearly, yes, you can't, there's no way of, you know, you can stomach following that clown in a parade. But you also can't follow the loop-de-doos, you know, who think everybody should have everything. You know, that ain't going to work either. So, so somehow this agenda is stuck in that kind of, this problem of the fact that it's such a degraded civilization that, you know, intelligent conversations on any subject are just impossible to find. And it's all a bunch of fake news and mockery and exaggerations and, you know, crap as arguments. And again, I see that in the physics arguments. I mean, you just ask for a simple thing, right? I mean, they've had hundreds of years to prove something. There should be some evidence. So if it really does take 25 times the fuel to spin something five times as fast, there should be evidence of that somewhere, right? You should have that. You should have done that experiment. I mean, it really comes down to something this ridiculous, right? So some idiot says 300 years ago that, 4 pounds dropped 1 foot is the same as 1 pound dropped 4 feet. And 1 pound dropped 4 feet is only going twice as fast as the 4 pounds going 1 foot. So clearly they have completely different momentums. One has twice as much momentum. And yet they claim it's the same energy. And no credible scientist ever did the experiment. I mean, it doesn't sound that complicated, right? Measuring the impact force of 4 pounds dropped 1 foot and the impact force of 1 pound dropped 4 feet. That doesn't sound like it's, it'll take trillions of dollars to do that experiment, right? You need all kinds of satellites and bullshit because, that's just way beyond our capacity. So, yes, it should have taken 300 years. Another argument is, there's this famous experiment that made Einstein famous. So Einstein was not a known by everybody kind of character until this one event took place where they did this experiment and saw, they say, light being bent twice as much as any ordinary matter. So even though no force is ever bent by another force, they say that light, the fastest, smallest thing in the universe, is bent twice as much by gravity. So really bold statement, right? And it's known to be a crap experiment, okay? The guy says in his own journal, when he was doing the experiment, he got 10% of the data quality because the weather was so bad. And he actually said, I wouldn't stake my life on these results because everything went wrong. And yet they claim it proved Einstein right, right? And then they never repeated the experiment. And then now that we have space technology, you could do the experiment from space, and it's 400 times easier to do. That is, it's, you can see, it's like your monitor screen getting 400 times bigger, like 400 monitors, and the detail would all be there. I mean, it's a huge increase in the ability to do the experiment, 400 time improvement. And they've never even attempted it from space. And you don't need an eclipse. So it's a 5-minute experiment. You just need a decent camera with a telephoto lens. And they never even tried it from space. And it's like, how could this be a truth? How could this be credible science? I mean, it's one of the most critical, famous experiments in the history of quantum mechanics and this whole evolution of Einstein's theories, and they never even tested it. They never even tried the experiment? You're saying, oh, come on. It's not even possible they haven't tried it. And so now you start getting into conspiracies where you say, okay, yeah, somebody tried it. Okay, NASA tried it, and it didn't work, and so they didn't publish because it didn't work. They should have published the fact that it didn't work, obviously. But they don't want to hear that bad news. That's the whole point, right? Is that nobody wants to be the bearer of the bad news that it's all bullshit. And that's all, you know, it's the religious people running from the truth, trying to contrive all kinds of, you know, compatibilist notions where somehow you can fit evolution into their silly biblical narrative of Noah's Ark or something. And it's just so ridiculous. There's no hope for that. It's a fable. It's a fable that doesn't have anything to do with what actually happened here on this planet to create human beings. It didn't happen that way. Okay? That story is bullshit, nonsense, idiotic. And they just can't let it go. And, you know, you're just, what the hell? But like I said, those are dumbasses. The scientists are a bunch of atheists who have recognized that, yes, reality has hard truths in it, and yet they can't even recognize when, yeah, part of the narrative and story they're telling is silly. Dark matter, you know, all the fake and phony particles, the whole antimatter nonsense. I mean, it's just so ridiculous that there's a bunch of atoms floating around and a bunch of you know, it's just too ridiculous. And yet they are so confident. And it's ridiculous crap. All right. So, try again. All right, Beck. So thinking about all the ways, you know, life goes sucky, you know, just this is a bug planet. And, you know, as much as we think we've elevated our lives to something more spectacular than bugging, it's still pretty buggy, right? I mean, just the whole contradiction of the hippie, what would you call it when somebody would leave civilization, go live in the wilderness? I can't remember the name for that. But anyway, you know, this, you know, you get your freedom, you get this, but then you're not free in the sense that you're cold and dirty and smelly and, you know, it's a meager existence. And you're just surviving, you know, barely. But at least you're not crowded and irritated by a bunch of other people with stupid agendas and a bunch of other problems you didn't create and all the other bullshit that goes with civilization, your 9-to-5 obligations. All that shit. So yeah, there's no, you know, it's, you know, there's very little life that's just climb a tree, eat some bananas, and take a nap. Most of every creature has to fight for its daily bread kind of thing. And if it doesn't have to fight with nature, hurricanes or something, flooding, it has to fight with the other assholes and try to get them from, keep them from, you know, destroying any peace and quiet you might, keep them from pissing in your drinking water, for fuck's sake. You know, it's like even the prey animals are burdened by this in the sense that, you know, if they're rogue, you know, and they go out and catch their own meal, then they got to fight the hyenas to keep it, or the jackals or some other kind of crap. So they can't even win that way. And then if they're in a tribe, then they have to fight with each other over who gets to eat the better parts and who gets to eat the shittier parts. So it's all grisly. And you know, all any of this crappy hype that this is all some grand adventure when it's all the same grisly adventure, and it's been going on for hundreds, thousands, millions of years, hundreds of thousands and then millions of years of this grind to survive. And you know, just because of the physics, again, you know, I've read a lot of letters that people wrote to each other 300 years ago. And, you know, it's all horrible. You know, oh, yeah, well, my wife died in childbirth. And, you know, our little son, Johnny, got the plague. And, you know, it's just horrible. And you're just, I don't need, you know, how do people even walk past it? How do they You're just saying, I don't know, the letters were all, I've got to go hang myself because I just can't do this anymore. I can't watch this squalor and debauchery. I guess that's sort of, I like Charles Dickens stories, and especially the Christmas Carol one. I just thought that was a great little metaphor for gaining appreciation for what's really valuable in your life. And, it's all another tragic, sad story. You know, he's in a train accident, and, what he saw was apparently so horrible that, he really couldn't talk like a regular person. I mean, he couldn't identify with the commoner's bullshit, in a sense, I guess you could argue. It all seemed so trivial and meaningless next to the scale of the sadness and tragedy that happens to people. So I guess you wouldn't have to see too many people in an earthquake, trapped, and you find them and, they're fucked. Their legs are, smashed, and, they've gnawed off one of their arms, and they're still alive. And, what are you going to, there's nothing, I mean, they did a movie like that. It just came to mind. There was some collapse of some balcony thing in some building, and it collapsed. And, a bunch of people got crushed underneath it and stuff piled on top of them all. And, some doctor had to cut somebody's, cut their leg off in just horrible conditions. And how many times do you have to see that and before you just say, fuck this, come on, too silly. It's too high a price. I wouldn't pay it, okay? If that's the bargain, I wouldn't do it. So why are we doing it to somebody else? Why are you doing it to the people in the future if you wouldn't volunteer to live that life yourself? Just crazy. And I just can't believe you'd volunteer, frankly. I just don't think if it was really put to you that you had to be the short straw picker, that you'd be all so enthusiastic. So because everybody just goes into this with hope and silly, wishing for the best and hoping for the best and presuming the best, without being just horrified by the prospect of the worst and recognizing that there's just no way I could fix that if it happened. There's no cookie, that's going to make it all better. It's just too silly. It's too silly that you have to have this conversation with other human beings who obviously understand that's how it works, that there are, every day, there's all kinds of horror stories. All kinds of terrible things are going to happen to people for no good reason. And they're going to be really horrible things, okay? And they might lead to decades of a horrible life. It's like that Brady guy who got shot when Hinckley was trying to kill Reagan. And they let the guy out, right? What the fuck? What the fuck? What is it that, what's the value in it? But that Brady guy spent, more than a decade fucked, for the rest of his life. Everything taken away. What the hell? The guy, the Superman guy, right? Reeves or whatever. That was his name. Anyway, fell off the horse and, stupid little dumb accident. And so here you have your little wonderful life, and it turns to shit. And the real sad part is that in 10 years his life was going to turn to shit anyway because his wife was going to die. Yeah, what the fuck? You want to live through this shit? I don't want to live through this shit. I, what are you selling? Why are you selling it? You know, why are you defending something that's just undefendable? And that's imposing torture. I mean, it's just a stupid thing to do. No reason. It just can't be a logical thing to do. Can't be defended as some sort of reasonable argument that something we are doing is worth it. Especially when what we're doing is just playing a soap opera reel in our heads. Some little silly fantasy about how I'm getting somewhere. You know. I mean, you know, it's sort of getting spring here, and I'm thinking about, oh, I'm going to plant some, you know, I'm going to have a good crop of beets this year. Obviously, you know, last year was way too hot and dry, so everything was shit. You know, but oh yeah, this year things are going to be better. You know, I'm storing a little bit more rainwater, so maybe I'll have enough water. You know, something. You know, it's just, yeah, it's worth torturing people. So I can, you know, play in the dirt and pretend I'm going to have a, you know, I'm going to accomplish something. It's just, you know, it's fucking idiotic. And then there's all the, you know, the hopelessly silly daydreams and well wishes for some sort of something working out. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, it pops into my head every now and then. I think about the first girl I fell in love with, and, you know, it was just, and how, you know, I kind of had this perception that somehow everything would be all right. If she loved me, then I would have everything, and everything would be fine and great and fantastic. But then there was this thing that always showed up, you know, in the back of my head saying, you know, no, it won't, because it's going to be a huge responsibility, and you're going to have to, you know, she's going to have to keep her happy, and it's going to have to be an interesting life, and you might not be interesting enough, you know, you might not have any common interests. I mean, you sort of like boy things, you know, you don't have much use for girl things. How are you going to make all that work out? And, you know. So, it's, you know, I mean, I sort of dreamed about junkyards and making machines and doing all that kind of stuff. And this really wasn't the kind of girl that was going to be doing that kind of crap. So I knew part of me was saying it, you know, can't work. It's really not what you think it is. But it was all just made out of image, too. And that was the other thing. You know, I fell in love with her because she was beautiful. You know, that was it. That was, you know, that's all it took. The sun shining on her hair just right. And, you know, that was it. And that's not enough. You know, that wasn't. I spent years pining, you know. So, yeah, it's just, this is such an insidiously silly thing to pretend you're going to win this life game. Just not going to happen, because it's just all made out of lies and shit and some silly delusions of utopia, or some sense, you know, that the fog will lift, you know, that if you just walk another mile, the fog will lift and the air will get clear and you'll be able to, you know, feel secure and comfortable, and you just get little tiny pieces of that. So that's the other thought that came to my mind, was the very few moments where I had that kind of feeling where I just want to stay in this moment, you know, forever. You know, and I don't want the clock to keep ticking seconds. I don't, you know, just stay here right now. And yeah, it's 10 minutes of my life. You know, just, you know. So it's just. So what I don't, you know, what is motivating these people, you know, to think this infestation of squirming, you know, biology is accomplishing something? Except just making a lot of torturous experiences. Besides that, you know, what is it accomplishing? You know, a few little moments of, you know, you pet the, you know, give the kitten a chin rascal, and it, yeah, and it, okay, it's happy for a little while. But that's all there is, and it's just not worth the price. It's just not even close. Yeah, no, it shouldn't even be a debatable subject. It's so not worth the price. But it apparently is. But it's not a debate I can, you know, I can't hear the counter argument in any other form but some woo about some promise in the future that will solve all of our biology problems. You know, somehow, you know, will create an environment of comfort not made out of anything, in terms of no desires that have to be satisfied, no deprivation that needs filling. And we see what happens to people. You know, you give them everything and they still haven't got enough. So, you know, it doesn't work. That you're not going to be able to create a utopia, okay, because we're not made to live in one. It's not how the animal's built. All right. Yeah, we'll try one more and such. All right, back. Finishing up. So, yeah, I've had a bunch of happy thoughts about insanity. You know, the whole struggle just to maintain your capacity to function and do what you have to do in this atmosphere of, you know, dystopic, dismal, depressing, threat, you know. And, yeah, it's just really hard to do. You know, it's this daily struggle to maintain your motivation and try to find the energy to give enough of a fuck to do what you have to do. And, yeah, it's just, you know, yuck. It's not much of a life. But it's a bug's life. That's what it requires, is this obligation. And we made it so much more complicated because we can see the future. We can see the, you know, all of this stuff, okay, that, you know, all the dumb animals and the dumb humans don't have to deal with because they're too caught up in the now, and or else they don't have the education, you know, the capacity to add it up and see where it's leading. You know, or the I don't know what to say, right? It's just so, because like I said, I mean, when I was 40 years old, I didn't feel indestructible, but I didn't feel anything like this. I mean, I didn't feel this vulnerable. And, you know, it just, you know, so I understand not feeling it, not having to, to have some sense of an idea of something, but it's just not as, you know, it's not hitting you. And so I can appreciate that, you know, a lot of people, they just don't feel it, okay? They, you know, their dog dies and they go, boo-hoo, sad, and they get over it, because there isn't some kind of point where it's just, I won't do this anymore. They just haven't gotten to that point where it just triggers, you know, a bunch of memories and thoughts about all the past adventures and how they all end in failure. And it sucks, you know, there's nothing. It's just, and you can't erase it either. You know, there's no, you know, I've sort of said this before. There's been a couple of people very important in my life, and, you know, they died badly. And, you know, you can't remember them in the good times because the bad time was so bad. And it's such a, it's bad enough that you lose them, but then you have to lose them badly, and then you have to lose those memories that, you know, might give you some capacity to endeavor to persevere or something, you know, some sort of will to try again, when now there's no will to try again. There's just fear of another, you know, the car wreck. It's a point you don't get back on the horse. How many people do you have to watch get their neck broken before you say, why do I get on a horse? Why would I bother with doing that? There's no way it could possibly be worth the risk. So why do it? Stupid, you know. And other people just aren't living in that world. You know, they go skiing and they don't think of, oh yeah, that guy like Sonny Bono or whatever. yeah, skied into a tree, you know, and got killed. They don't think about, well, if it could happen to him, I'm sure it could happen to you. You know, so none of those apprehensive mechanisms, none of those discouraging and poignant pieces of information trickle into their, oh, I see that, and yeah, I don't really want that. I can pay $100 today to prevent that $100,000 tomorrow thing or something. They're just not doing that math. So that's the difference, is, you know, their brain just won't let them process reality as it is, dystopic and horrifically nasty. And they're just going to keep thinking, but I'm going to watch the Super Bowl tomorrow and it's going to be big fun. Is it? Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, so enough of a video. Tried my best under difficult circumstances. It was a bad day. And doesn't really matter though, right? Because I'm trying to get to some point where I can identify what the real argument is, and it's really hard to identify what the real argument is. I mean, you know, the real problem is people are just too stupid, and, you know, I can't, you know, it's very difficult to give them the entire human education. It's as if they haven't learned anything, that they haven't connected any of the real dots to see the real picture of this parasitic infestation called life. All right. This cruel and pointless imposition. Yeah, so I think it's enough. All right, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah. That'll do, pig.